WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the summer crab cake and the peach cake season. There's a rumor they're going to be bringing me peach cake on August 3rd for our 25th anniversary. Al over at Fenwick Bakery, which is my favorite peach cake establishment over on Harford Road, is going to be bringing it over on the 3rd of August, right around 2 o'clock. But we've got guests lined up. Tom Pierce from Classic 5 is going to join us at 11 a.m. We have all sorts of guests stopping by. I got surprises. I got some calls out. We're going to be at Costas on the 3rd. We are going to be at Drug City in the heart of Dundalk on the 4th. It's Radio Free Dundalk. After 25 years of owning this joint here at AM 1570 and all of these memories and that we're going to be sharing out online, we have a new sponsor for our 25th anniversary I'll be telling you about next week as well. It's legal now, so I can tell you all about it. We're going to be there on the 3rd and 4th, and this week, of course, we're going to be at the Beaumont with Gina Schock, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. And the one thing that's not going to change in the time that I'm with Gina on Thursday, Luke, is that the Baltimore Orioles are in first place in the American League East. They are the best team in the American League, and they are headed to play I don't know what to say about this series this weekend, and I'm doing the show, and I'm going down to Dewey and partying with Tommy Conwell on Sunday. I'm home most of the weekend. This is the biggest series of baseball. I don't know what to compare it to. Like when it comes to a July series with a pennant race. Now, if it was a win and in, if it was just the American League East and West, and because more teams get in now, so it's not as crucial mathematically, but spiritually, and where the unbalanced schedule has now like gone away and you don't see Tampa, New York, Boston too much. Boy, this is as big as it gets for a July series for them. And the momentum's weird with Mullins out, and they almost got swept, but they didn't, and they're in first place, but here we are. But one thing for sure, dude, they're good. They're really, really good.
Yeah. We've been saying that for a while now, but I think, you know, how they come out of the break, and look, we talked about it early on Wednesday, you know, that the feelings of how Kramer's first inning went, and you're down 2-0, and you're just thinking, here we go again. The Dodgers are going to beat them again. They're going to decimate the bullpen. They're going to have to make more roster moves going down to St. Petersburg. And you know, they came right back. They came right back in the first inning and they got the job done and they salvage a game. And it helps that, hey, the Rays are struggling and they've been struggling for a while now. And it helps that, you know, you look at the rest of the division and, you know, I mean, it's, you know, Toronto's played better of late, but you know, you've got Boston and the Yankees who, they're not terrible in a vacuum, but it's weird to see them at the bottom of the division. And, you know, you just look at the Orioles, you know, best team in the American League coming out of play on Wednesday, even in a series where they lost 2 out of 3. And it's exciting, but you just said it. I mean, this, first of all, this is the first time since August of 2016 that they've been in first place at this juncture in a season, not talking the first week of the season, anything like that. So that right there tells you how exciting it is, how long it's been. I mean, 7 years since we've even been talking about being in this kind of position. But going down to the Trop against a Rays team that has really, you know, really struggled in particular swinging the bats. You know, and we saw that in the series that they really had their issues against the Rangers. So, you know, you're hoping to keep the bats cold, but it's huge. A 4-game series. And look, it's still July. You know, the outcome of this series is not going to decide anything one way or the other, but you take 3 out of 4. You know, dare I say, if you did the unspeakable and got and had a sweep and suddenly you have a 4-game lead, I mean, my goodness, we'd be talking in even different terms. But, you know, realistically speaking, go down there and hold your own. If you can at least get a split, then you come out of it still tied for first place. So, I mean, it's just, it's big. It really is. And it'll be interesting knowing that at the Trop, you're not going to have a playoff atmosphere because you're not going to have a crowd that big. Like you said, probably will be a decent number of Orioles fans there, which should help, but it's definitely one of those venues where you need to bring your own energy. So that's going to add a little more intrigue to what is a really important series. I mean, it's just, what more can you ask for at this point? And, you know, there was optimism going into the season. There was lots of talk that the Orioles could be in the playoffs. They could make a wild, you know, one of the 3 wild card spots, but you're looking at this thing now and you're saying, well, if you're in first place in late July, why can't you be in first place come September? So a lot of work to do, A lot of challenges ahead, and certainly it doesn't help when you lose Cedric Mullins to the IL again. Even if the hope is that it's not going to be quite as long of a stint as before, but you know that there are challenges at any corner and around any corner. And we saw this right before the All-Star break when they'd lost 6 of 7 and the sky's falling, and well, then they found their footing again and reeled off another winning streak. So I think what Brandon Hyde and what this club has done so well, and this is going back to last year, the second half of last year, regardless of what happened at the trade deadline, regardless of how much anyone really believed it, they were in a playoff race. They were in the wild card race until the final week of the season. So I think that was such good experience for them. But I think what this team does so well, and this is what the best Buck Showalter teams did well that I was around and had the chance to cover. You never feel like it's a big series when you're around them prior to the game. They know they're playing a tough team, and they did that with the Dodgers. They knew the Marlins were good last weekend, but you never get the sense that it's too big for them. And look, they lose series. They haven't played perfectly all year. They haven't been swept all year, which is amazing, as they avoided another one on Wednesday. But I think Brandon Hyde, despite the fact that he's still a relatively inexperienced manager and all he had known as a manager was losing. But keep in mind, this guy coached for a World Series team in Chicago. He was a coach. He was on the staff for Joe Maddon and some really good teams. I think he sets a good tone of really getting these guys to treat it like it's any other game. And deep down, it's more important. They know that there's a lot riding on this series, even in July. This weekend, but you don't get the sense that they're going to treat it any differently, that they're going to approach it any differently. They're going to have they'll get to the ballpark. They'll have their advanced meetings. They'll prepare. They'll get their data. They'll go through scouting reports. The pitchers will have their meetings. The hitters will have their meetings, and then they'll go out and play. And that's what they've done all year. And we talked about this a lot in May. Remember how much of a bear that May schedule looked like on paper? They had a winning month. At some point in time, this is just who they are. People can continue to be surprised because they've exceeded expectations or projections. And guys like me who thought they'd have a record similar to last year, because I thought last year they did play over their head. And I thought they'd be better this year, but it wouldn't necessarily show up dramatically win-loss wise because of the division that they're in. And they've gone out from April on and they've played really, really good baseball. So, what's that going to mean come September and October? How long are they playing into October? Who knows? It really is still a crapshoot. Talk to the Dodgers, who, for all the talk of how great they've been the last 7 or 8 years, they have one World Series championship in the weird pandemic year. It shows just how difficult it is to win in October. So, but you have to get there in order to answer that question. And the Orioles are putting themselves in such an excellent position at this point where if they're not playing in October, something has gone very wrong.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is really you mentioned sweep Tampa, this, that. Boy, if they fell apart at this point, or if the Yankees came storming back, or if the Red Sox came storming back into this in some way. And that's why I want to talk to you, not just about the trading deadline, and we could talk about Mullins and, pulling Aaron Hicks out of a hat and, O'Hearn, these guys that they've hit on. Whether it's Yenny or Cano, they've hit on a lot of these guys. And, I don't know about Gibson. And there's some other things that they were like, maybe you could have done something differently, but you're first place. You're the best team in the American League East. I'm not going to nitpick here on this. But I would say this, with the deadline up and their absolute depth of their organization that nobody would question, and Ken Rosenthal, who used to live here locally, writing about Shohei Ohtani being like, the best player that's going to get dealt in the next 12 days, if he's going to get dealt. We can still question that you could rent him. And if you're going to rent the greatest player in the history of the game for 8 weeks while he is currently the great, he's not, he's an is, not a might be. He changes things for you if you get him. He changes things. You have to compete with him if you had to play the Yankees and the Red Sox 13 times in August and September, but you don't. So your thoughts about the other teams fortifying, it won't be Tampa. Spending money and doing things. It's never the Orioles. It's never the Angelos family spending money. Maybe it would be. But somebody's going to deal for Ohtani, I guess, if he's going to get dealt. I would think the Angels aren't going to sign, and why wouldn't they take three prospects? Why wouldn't they want some teams, Colton Cowser or Ryan Mountcastle, whatever they would want, whatever they can get? And people are like, well, the Rosenthal thing. Well, we get one from Tier A, current player, one from Tier B, can't miss prospect, and one from Tier C, a guy or two, an arm, whatever. And I think to myself, well, if that's what the Orioles, if that's the value, and the Orioles can offer the most out of their system, because the Yankees were doing this for years, you know, trading deadline, good teams do this. The Astros did this when they were the Astros, right? When these guys were part of that. And then when they were part of the Cardinals, they did it, right? That you look at this and say, who's the best available player? What can we afford to give up? And will that player make a difference in us winning a championship in October? And you and I know, blowing the dice, roll the dice, crapshoot. Ohtani, to me, is not a crapshoot. You go and get him and you don't win the World Series, you could say, we got Ohtani. And then I don't know whether there's any realistic thought of signing him or whatever. But the Rosenthal thing's interesting, but my thought is I work it backwards. I'm going to go Nautilus on you with this and say, well, somebody else is going to get him, so you're going to have to play him in the World Series then, or like if you're thinking that way, and you're thinking like, of the available guys that are going to move in the next 2 weeks, how can we make sure the Yankees and the Red Sox don't get something that changes their mojo, and they start playing 700 ball for 6 weeks? Because it's possible.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of the game, right? I mean, I can recall, I mean, it feels like ancient history because it was 9 years ago at this point, but part of the Orioles' motivation of going out and getting Andrew Miller was they didn't want other contenders in the AL to get him. You know, they thought that's okay. You know, and remember, they were trying to get John Lester at the time. You know, there was talk about that, and, you know, they didn't want to part with Dylan Bundy at the time, which Dylan Bundy was an amazing prospect at that point in time. And so you have some of that, but you know, there is always kind of that, all right, we'd like to have them, but we'd also like to keep them away from that team. So I think probably at the end of the day, that too much is made of that, but that certainly applies. And that certainly is part of it. You know, I guess for me, it's just tough and to really put it in the context of, if I'm going to try to sit here and seriously think about the Orioles, if they would ever have a shot at someone like Shohei Ohtani, you know, again, what's the Angels asking price going to be? It is a rental. All teams, not just the Orioles, not just rebuilding cheap teams, but the most expensive high payroll teams value their prospects more than ever. You know, Jackson Holliday is gold.
All the more reason to think nobody's going to give up gold. So if you give them two bags of silver for a rental, whoever's the best deal is the deal they'll make. That's what I'm thinking.
Right. No, I hear you. And look, I'm just going to throw out three names here. If you told me right now that I could get Shohei Ohtani if I give up, and these were names, these were names that were cited in the article. And again, how much of this was really reporting compared to conjecture? I think it was much more conjecture and maybe a little bit of industry chatter as far as how much the Angels realistically can get for Ohtani. You know, knowing as great as he is, it is still just a 2-month rental. And you're talking about an unbelievably historic financial commitment. Whoever signs him is going to make.
Hold on. I'm going to stop you right now. We're going to go football season, okay? Lamar Jackson, one of one, available. Last year, that criminal was available, and everybody bid on him. And this year, Lamar couldn't get on a plane. Lamar couldn't get anybody to sniff him beyond Owings Mills. I don't know. I mean, Ohtani, I don't know. Everybody should pick up the phone. He's the greatest player we've ever seen in our lifetime, right? And everybody should be on the phone. But to your point, who's going to give up what? Who's going to play the game? And who's dealing from the deepest deck? The Orioles have the deepest deck right now, right?
They do. But there's also that deck is also meant to empower and maintain what they do for the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years. So there's that. But to bring it back to that, I saw the name Ryan Mountcastle was in there, which I think Ryan Mountcastle's value has never been lower than it is right now. So I don't really think that's getting you much of anything at this point in time. Heston Kerstad's name was in there. I'm trying to think of the other names. I don't have the article in front of me. DL Hall's name was in there, who his value is not very high right now because of some of the physical issues he's had. Cade Povich's name was mentioned. I mentioned him, and he was the kind of the big piece in the Jorge Lopez deal, even though Yennier Cano ended up being a big piece too. If you're telling me that I can trade, and they're not spare parts because, you're still talking about guys like a Connor Norby or a Joey Ortiz, guys that have been either top 100 prospects or are on the cusp of being a top 100 prospect. If you're talking, a couple guys like that, and they're not insisting that I give them Jackson Holliday, for example, then, I'd have a tough time not considering that, right? I mean, I'm not saying I don't want Shohei Ohtani. I'm saying that I'm certainly not giving them Jackson Holliday. I'm not giving them Grayson Rodriguez for him, because I still am that big of a believer in him. So if it's kind of my, a second tier prospect of mine and a couple third year or
Well,
three third
nobody
year
else
prospects
is giving up their
or third
Jackson
tier.
Holliday either, to your point, right? So then
Sure,
you make your
sure.
best deal. That's why I'm saying two bags
Yeah,
of
I mean,
silver. That's why
right.
I'm not trying to sell it because Rosenthal sold it, or
Yeah.
I'm trying to sell it because he's the greatest player in the history of the game, and he's going to play for someone else, probably not named the Angels.
Maybe.
Why wouldn't you be in that bidding? Well,
Yeah.
then if he doesn't get dealt, then that means nobody sent their Jackson Holliday, and that means that Mountcastle and Kerstedt and a bag of baseballs didn't get him.
Right. I mean, it's just I don't know. I guess I'm struggling with the exercise because the Orioles weren't even willing to go out and sign like Nathan Eovaldi in the offseason, someone that they could have signed for, I mean, he got real money, but it wasn't like, he didn't get 100, it wasn't $125 million. I think he got a 2-year, $34 million contract. And I think it probably had a vesting option or something like that with it. They weren't even in that market for a starting pitcher. And look, I know Ohtani's a hitter and a starting pitcher, let's be clear. But I guess it's just tough for me to even wrap my head around the possibility when they weren't even in that world in the offseason, and they signed Kyle Gibson,
But they
which,
weren't first
Kyle
place in the
Gibson's
best
been.
team in the American League then either.
I understand that. I guess for me, it's just I have a tough time believing that they'll even be in that conversation, and maybe I'm completely wrong. And maybe 2.5 weeks from now, we're talking about Shohei Ohtani being a Baltimore Oriole, albeit probably for only 2.5 months. Because if they didn't sign Nathan Eovaldi in the offseason, then I sure as heck don't think they're going to re-sign Shohei Ohtani, even if they would acquire him as a rental.
I mean,
So.
if you want to commit to being the best team in baseball and sell it and go to the governor and hold him up, we had the tre
Well,
I reached the treasurer, by the way, this week about the lease situation. Like, if you want to, like, I'm not being a dick. I'm just saying, like, why aren't we allowed to have the best toys? Because then it's going to come
I
back to,
hear
like,
you.
if you don't want to pay Rutschman, if he turns out to be the best player ever, or of any of these guys, Kerstedt, Rodriguez turns out to be, Strasburg, whatever, right? That's the game you play, and that's why it's good to see people down there spending money, and place filled up a little bit against the Dodgers this week, and trying to sell tickets and give tickets away, and it's $10 and it's $60 for the club plan for the month of all, like, whatever they need to do, they need to do it now. This is the time to build the organization and the franchise so that they can afford nice toys. So I don't have to hear, well, we're not allowed to have the best players. We have to eat. Oh, dare I use the Andy McPhail reference? The late great Mike Flanagan gave me this one. Why feed him steak when they'll eat hamburger? Well, clearly Ohtani's not steak. He's Kobe beef. You know what I mean? He's the best of the best that there's ever been, and he's available. I think it's worth talking about. If you want to win, why
Sure.
wouldn't you want to talk about that?
I don't disagree, but what is the cost going to be in terms of prospects? And knowing that, would we both agree that even if the Orioles ponied up the prospects, that they're never going to sign him? I mean, would we agree? Like, let's not live in fantasy land. They're not going to sign Shohei Ohtani, even if they would rent him. So I guess my question is, can you afford as an organization from the health of your farm system to acquire him, and then knowing that whatever you're giving up is going to be
It
gone and you're
depends on
not
what you
going to pay
pay,
the
right?
money.
It does. It really does.
And right. And look, I'm not trying to be a stick in the mud here. I just feel like it's tough for me to even talk about
Well, if
this.
we're
I'm
going to
sure
sit
you're
here and
tough because I
talk
just
about
don't
them
know.
dealing to go to the World Series, let's start at the top, and then we can talk about them picking up some guy from Oakland for a bag of baseballs, who from Japan, and they're trying to fix him. And I mean, if that's what they're, if they're futzing around, you know, in the middle of July when they're the best team in baseball, then they're futzing around. And like, don't be surprised to hear footsteps from the Yankees or the Red Sox, who would not have any problem in dealing for Ohtani if it, if that's what they felt like they wanted to do.
Sure.
And the Yankees would probably think it would rock their franchise, you know, in regard to interest and them being the Yankees, and we're bringing him in and we're going to make a charge for it. We're going to be a wild card and we're going to spit ourselves in and we're going to get a one game playoff and he's going to pitch it. And like, we're, you know, all of that, the visions of sugar plums that they dream like that there. So if they dream like that there, you better dream that you're going to have to go face him on the hill and then have to pitch to him in the playoffs too. Cause it's possible.
Sure. Sure. Possible, and you know, if he's dealt to a contender, likely. You know,
we'd only be dealt to a contender.
Well, I guess I meant
National League. Right.
You know what I meant, right? Right. Yeah, certainly National League. Sorry, just you're throwing a lot at me here. But I mean,
these are good problems to have,
right? And one thing that you do need to recognize here, and again, this is a very analytic driven organization. Analytics would tell you most of these trade deadline moves do not pay off. Now, that said, Sig Meidel, Michael Elias coming from Houston, as you mentioned, can't remember if it was in this segment or a previous segment, you know, they went and got Justin Verlander at the deadline, and that made a huge difference for them, you know, in winning a championship. So it's not unprecedented. However, you know, that Astros team was at least a couple years further along in terms of where their competitive window was. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see. So much of this just comes back to where in the heck are the Angels in this process? Because I'm still not convinced that ownership wants to trade him. I'm still not convinced that they're going to be remotely realistic enough in what they ask for that a team will pull the trigger. So, you know, that those are still really big questions here. You know, if the question is, I can get Shohei Ohtani, but will you trade Jackson Holliday to get him? It's absolutely not. I'm not trading arguably the best prospect in baseball for a guy that I don't think I have any prayer to re-sign. And I don't know if Shohei Ohtani would even want to play in Baltimore. I mean, you know, so, you know, it could be a case where he wants to be on the West Coast.
Well, for any team that gives up prospects, they're, you know, they're, even if they're thinking, well, we'll get him for $380 million.
Yeah.
I mean, we can bargain that, you know, who knows what the market's going to be from in the – and it's going to be an open market. I mean, it's not going to be a sign and deal. It's not.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's where it's just – and a team like the Orioles who don't have an unlimited payroll, even if they certainly can spend much more than they have been in recent years, and I'm not going to say that they you know, that they can't spend a whole lot more, but – you're talking about dealing prospects to get them. And if you lose them, then you don't get those prospects back. And you've now hurt yourself for the future. I'm just, again, it's real simple to just say, I want Shohei Ohtani. I don't give a crap about 2024 and beyond. Let's win a World Series this year. And look, for the right deal, go get them. Sure. If they don't want to take your very best prospects and they're willing to take some good prospects, but not your top of the line guys, then by all means do it. Believe me, I'd love to cover Shohei Ohtani in Baltimore, even if for 2.5 months. But I'm also looking at this, how Mike Elias has approached this thing and how the Orioles have gotten to this point. And it has been very methodical. They have not been aggressive in free agency last winter or the winter before that, when I would have honestly been starting to pick my spots at that point in time, because I didn't want to waste the first couple years of Adley Rutschman. So, hey, these guys know more than I did, because they're still already have the best.
Well, to your point, if we're having a real conversation, if they have a bunch of money to throw around, they better be throwing it at Henderson and Rutschman right now, right?
Well, I mean, sure. Yeah, I mean, even if you want to tell me that you're not going to, you know, if Adley Rutschman wants a 10-year deal, for example, I don't know if I'm giving a catcher a 10-year deal who's 25 already. But Gunnar Henderson's 22. And he's going to be a shortstop and more likely a third baseman long-term once Jackson Holliday is probably here midway through next year, the way he's going. That'll hold up. A 10-year deal, he probably holds up very nicely. So, yeah. And we've talked about that. I've talked about that going back to last year, that I'd like to see a long-term financial commitment made to
looking back
one
on
of their
Machado
young
and
guys.
what could have been there with the money they gave to Davis, if it just would have been smart people and smart money, then, you know, they would have never have had Adley Rutschman. They wouldn't have been that bad, right? You know, there's a whole different pathway you go on, but they went down the path of darkness of being awful to get to this point. Now that they're at this point, we're all saying you got 12 days on a trading deadline here, and, you know, what's going to happen to fortify the team, and are they good enough? And these are, dude, this is a great conversation to have. We haven't talked about Tampa going down to Tampa. I mean, we know them well. This is certainly getting them at an interesting time, right? Like, you wonder, well, how the hell the Orioles get in the first place? They were losing games. Well, Tampa's been backing up for quite some time, and you can't play 29 games over 500 forever, man.
Yeah. I mean, Tampa over the last few weeks, they've been kind of mediocre. You know, that they were, we were talking about them in terms of being the 84 Tigers early in the season. And, you know, they did that for, you know, into June, let's say. And, you know, the last few weeks, it's been a struggle for them. And they've really struggled to swing the bats recently. So I think it's a great opportunity for the Orioles. And, you know, you look at it, we're going to continue to talk about the trade deadline for the next, you know, under 2 weeks now, but, you know, 10 days, whatever it is. And in the meantime, the Orioles have a chance here that, against Tampa Bay, and they're going to go to Philadelphia. The Phillies have played good baseball for the most part since early June, you know, kind of a similar timeline to what we saw with them last year. And then they go to, or then they come home, play the Yankees, they go to Toronto. I mean, you know, there's really no let up until you get past the trade deadline. And I guess you'd say the Mets are, you know, because they've been such a disaster this year. So, you know, it's not an easy schedule. So, I mean, the trade deadline is going to be talked about so much. And again, I'm not trying to, I want to be clear, I'm not trying to poo-poo the idea of, you know, if you can go get Shohei Ohtani and the Angels asking price is not outrageous, yeah, rent them for 2.5 months. I'll say this much, it improves our chances to win the World Series, but also understand it doesn't guarantee that they're going to win the World Series either. So, you know, there's
still...
Well,
it would make it a hell of a lot more fun.
Well, it's a hell of a lot of fun now. It would be amazing from an attention standpoint. I mean, the national media, you know, just imagine, I've seen it for years, you know, the Japanese media that follows around either Ohtani, Ichiro for years. I mean, you know, the press box would just be packed every single night with the contingency that follows him around. And I mean, he's a rock star. You know, he really is. So it'd be fun, but you know, there are a lot of other good players out there too. And if I'm going to sit here and you're going to ask what my professional anticipation prediction would be, I think you're going to see them make a couple moves, but I think they're going to be the modest variety. I think it's going to be, and I'm not even talking, you know, what they did on Wednesday. I'm not talking.
Well,
Shintaro
but getting
Fujinami.
A Nathan Eovaldi be a modest addition, getting a real starter, a $17 million a year starter.
Yeah, I mean, he's not. I mean, obviously, he's not going to be available. But like someone of that ilk, like you know, where there's been a lot of talk about the White Sox starters. You know, I mean, Blake Snell's been thrown out there. You know, if it's a rental, you know, you're talking about a rental starter that would, you know, isn't that ace that's necessarily going to strike fear into an opponent, but would be the Orioles' ace. You know, they could certainly go out and get that. You know, I'll continue to be very clear that I still want to see them add some bullpen help. I still think that can be just as beneficial for them as adding another starting pitcher. You know, we'll see what happens with Grayson Rodriguez here. I wasn't as down on his first start back as some people were. It was a lousy ending to it, but again, there were some circumstances there that defense didn't help him, for example, and Brian Baker certainly didn't help him relieving him in that inning. But yeah, I think if you can add a starter, that would be huge for them. There's no question about that. You know, I love what I saw from Kyle Bradish, his first time out after the All-Star break. Tyler Wells' poor start aside has been good, but you know, are these guys that are going to match up with another team's ace? You know, Gerrit Cole kind of aces? No, they're not. But that doesn't mean you can't beat them because ultimately it's your lineup going up against them. So you know, it's going to be fascinating because it's not like last year where they were kind of in this ambiguous in between where it's like, all right, mathematically they're in it. Realistically, mean, Mike Elias flat out said he didn't think that they really had a great chance of that at the time. And you know, he ruffled some feathers in that clubhouse that he had to do a little control damage, even if he was being honest with how he felt at the time. But there's no ambiguity at this point now. I mean, my goodness, you're one of the best teams in baseball record-wise, and mathematically, it'd be an upset if you don't get into the postseason at this point. So, you know, you have pieces. I think there are pieces that you can identify that maybe aren't as crucial to their future, given some of the log jam that they have. You know, whether you're talking about the infield, for example, you know, we've already seen this with Joey Ortiz, for example. You know, Joey Ortiz is a top 100 prospect in baseball, but it's really not a place for him on the roster. You know, they're certainly not looking like there's going to be a place for him to start. So, can you use some of that perception, you know, some of that, you know, juice that he has as a prospect around baseball and package him with a couple others of that ilk and go get yourself a starting pitcher? It's probably not going to be Shohei Ohtani, but you can go out and get someone that can really help you. So, I'd be disappointed if I don't see a move, you know, of that ilk made, just because of the great opportunity they have for themselves here. But, and this is why I'm a little surprised, because I feel like even just a week or so ago, you know, you were kind of the mind of, you know, you were fine if they didn't really do much at the trade deadline.
Well, I
So,
started thinking about where he's going to be. And then you have to go compete with him and other
yeah.
players and letting this time pass them to say, to your point, will we get back there again? Will things work? I mean, Mullins gets hurt. Things could happen. You know, Rutschman gets hurt early next year. It changes things. And I've seen that with Lamar, where every year in October we think we're a winner, and in December we're not, right? So it happens quickly. And first place in the AL East, the best team in the American League. It's all heady on, you know, July 20th when you're heading to Tampa. But there aren't going to be a whole lot of July 20s when you're going to be in first place and the Yankees are going to be in last. I mean, one thing about this year that really benefits them, and as I think back to 14 as well, the other teams weren't loaded. You know, not it takes a year when the Yankees and the Red Sox aren't as good. And that is balanced or unbalanced, in my opinion. You know, that the Yankees are even scuffling. That's an unusual thing. It's the first time they've been in last place since 1990. Like, so, you know, you are in that division where it's rarefied air to be in first place July 19th. And you can't think, well, we'll just be there again 3 out of the next 5 years.
No,
I don't know.
I hear you on that. At the same time, first of all, the Yankees being in last place in this division, that's not the same as 1990. I mean, let's at least be genuine and looking, you know, they're not 20 games under 500. It's a really tough division. But that is part of the challenge here, and part of what the point that you're making. You know, the Red Sox are not in a great place organizationally. They're just not. I mean, they're guys that have walked out the door there. I mean, fan base, the temperature for the front office and everything that they've done, and players that have, you know, losing, you know, trading away Betts and Bogarts and everything. So, you know, I mean, Red Sox, I'm, you know, I'm much higher on Tampa Bay and Toronto than the Red Sox at this point. But I mean, I hear what you're saying. I do. And it just, for me, it just keeps coming back to, you can't be all in for this year in the sense of you don't want to jeopardize the next 5 years and trade away the farm for Shohei, 2 months of Shohei Ohtani. But if it's a little bit more of a modest collection of prospects and the Angels are being realistic and you're not getting into this crazy bidding war with two or three other teams, then sure, absolutely. So, you know, I know I
Well, if
sound
that crazy
wishy-washy
bidding
here.
war
I do.
exists, then it does. If you know, if that's the price to get in, then that's the price to get in. Then you stay. We're not in. But if it's a re if it's if the price is reasonable against the grain of baseball, then why not? I mean, so my tune has changed to that degree because he's the greatest player that I've ever seen, and we'll do a whole segment next week on whether the pitching of his improvement or the hitting improves the Orioles more
Both.
theoretically, you know,
I mean,
right?
he's the best player in baseball. I mean, he would give them their first unequivocal bona fide ace since Mike Mussina. I mean, I'm not talking about like Eric Bedard was great for half a year, or you know, Chris Tillman was rock solid for 3 years, or you know, it'd be their the from a pure talent standpoint, easily the best ace they've had since Mike Mussina. And with apologies to Mike Mussina, Ohtani still might have a little more upside, even as a pitcher, although, Moose was great. He's a Hall of Famer. But yeah, he is an unbelievable power hitter who would take aim at the warehouse. I mean, we Chris Davis for a minute, we talked about that, as far as potentially hitting the warehouse, but Ohtani, so I mean it, believe me, man. Everyone listening right now is saying, oh, Luke, he's being negative. He doesn't want Shohei Ohtani. If
Like
he's
heck.
dealing for Paul Bunyan, sure. I guess I just don't want to see them ruin what they have in a farm system to go chase a World Series for
Don't
2
think this is a
months.
Herschel
And
Walker
I don't
trade.
think it
Think you
is
have to
either.
give away. Yeah, I mean, it's.
And that's and but that's still where I struggle with this from an Angel standpoint, and knowing where that ownership is, of the kind of money they've spent, even if they haven't spent it wisely, knowing what the fan base is going to be there, knowing already the fears of Ohtani leaving and going to sign with the Dodgers or the Mariners. It's such a weird in between where I feel like, yeah, they don't want to lose them and have them walk for nothing. At the same time, they don't want to come back with their tail between their legs with, kind of a
Ryan
so-so
Mountcastle.
return. You know what I mean? So like it's such a and look, we talked about this with Machado back in 18 when the Orioles were going into that season, right? I mean, they had signed Alex Cobb. They were hoping to be a wild card contender again that year. And we talked about it in April before they got off to the awful start and then it was all over. And then you knew they were going to be sellers and you knew Machado was going to be gone come July. But we talked about it in April where it's like, okay, well, what do they do if they're what do you do if on July 10th they're 7 games over 500 and okay, they're a game and a half out of the second wild card, but they don't feel like a World Series contender. So are you just going to trade Machado then? And then it's like, if you did that, why didn't you do this a year ago? So I feel like with the Angels, there's still that sense of, and look, they've struggled so much, and
Hey,
boy, the
Dean
injuries.
Kramer pitched this week, so there's still pieces of that, right?
Yeah,
That deal,
yeah.
right? So,
The piece, right? Yeah. Yusniel Diaz is back with the Dodgers organization, interestingly enough,
good for him.
and I think he's still in Double A, so hasn't progressed last I checked, but yeah, that's where I think it's just so interesting with Ohtani with the Angels here, and are they
You
going to sign
forgot
him
the
or?
part where the general manager knew he was leaving the organization and was left to liquidate.
Oh, I thought you meant the Angels. Yeah,
No.
Duquette.
I
Oh.
just I'm going back to like now.
Yeah.
How do we get fleeced? And that you said to use Neil Diaz, and I'm thinking, how do we get fleeced? And, oh, that's right. Duquette didn't care.
Hey, Diaz had just hit what, two home runs in the Futures game, and he was actually considered a pop-up prospect. But here's a little secret: the Dodgers, they spend a hell of a lot of money, and they also are brilliant, and they also have a great farm system. So they knew that they probably knew that Yusniel Diaz, even if they said, "Hey, talented player." They probably knew his work ethic wasn't great, which that was kind of part of the knock of him, and that's one of the reasons he kept getting hurt and didn't necessarily take great care of himself. But again, the point is with the Angels, it doesn't look like they're going to sign him. It doesn't look like he wants to re-sign there. So do you trade him? If you do trade him, how much do you ask for? How much can you realistically get? As I said, even these teams that are stinking filthy rich that will go out and try to sign Shohei in the offseason, are they going to give up the kind of package that the Angels are asking for? Are they able to create the kind of bidding war that they really want in terms of prospects that might cause some team to go give up their Jackson Holliday? Orioles or whoever it is, that's what the Angels want. So, how does it play out? And it's, we mentioned Machado, and make no mistake, no disrespect to Manny Machado, who, just hit his 300th career home run. He's still in his early 30s. He's got a good chance to be a Hall of Famer at this point if he stays healthy and does it for at least several more years. But he's not Shohei Ohtani. I mean, this is such, I mean, I'm trying to think of elite of the elite, absolute bona fide superstars being dealt at the trade deadline. I think back to when the Mariners dealt Randy Johnson to the Astros, and what was that, 98 or 98, 99, whenever that was. There've been some others here and there, but Gosh, that's so unique. You know, that territory is so unique for that kind of a player. So it'll be fascinating. And all of this in a climate in which teams are more stingy holding on to their prospects than ever. So
Well, the more reason to think it might not be as
yes, yeah.
stiff as you think.
And it might
That's
not.
all.
And look, and to be clear, I'm not even saying that the Orioles would have to give up Jackson Holliday to get him, but you know, at the same time, you might have to give up three of your other five best prospects to get him. Do you want to do that, knowing that there's probably not a snowball's chance in heck that you're going to re-sign him? And then your farm system has taken a pretty big dent there. Now, you win a World Series, I'm guessing people won't mind as much. But if you get knocked out in the divisional round, because hey, the Dodgers are a great example. The best team doesn't always win. In fact, quite often the best team doesn't win.
He
So
got knocked out in October because Shohei Ohtani pitched like crap in game one and game four. Then,
it'll hurt
okay,
though.
you
I
know.
know, I hear you, but boy, that'll sting, especially when then, you know, those prospects aren't in your system anymore. So hey,
And the Yankees get him anyway, right?
it's
All
fun to
right, we've had enough of
right. It's
this.
fun to talk about. It's and again, if there is a realistic deal to be made that you don't have to completely decimate your farm system to go get them, by all means, go get them. I don't want people to say, "Oh, Luke's being so negative and doesn't want Shohei Ohtani." I just think,
I'm going to say that on the internet. I'm going to say Luke's being negative and doesn't want Shohei
well,
Ohtani
you
is what I'm
know,
going to say.
I'm a hater. It's fine.
Well, the transcript's right there. You can find Luke, Baltimore Luke, on the interwebs. He'll be monitoring all things Orioles baseball from the blimp down in St. Petersburg, where I need to get back down. I've got a lot of friends in St. Petersburg this weekend. We're going to be at, we were at Coco's last week. We had a $100 winner on our Maryland Lottery scratch-offs. We have a handful of these left. We're going to be at the Beaumont in Catonsville this week, and then gearing up August 3rd, we're at Costas for our 25th anniversary, giving away everything that is not nailed down. I mean, like, Get Nasty shirts, Free the Bird shirts, signs, stuff, swag. I'm bringing it all to Costas on the 3rd. I'm not bringing it to Drug City on the 4th because it's tighter there, but it'll all be at Costas on the 3rd. Stop by. We'll be at Drug City on the 4th. 11 to 4, great guest on August 3rd and 4th. It's 25 years of this mayhem, and still no Shohei Ohtani. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. First place in the Baltimore Orioles. Stay with us on Baltimore Positive.